Investors in Apple got some bad news last week. The company had to make an unexpected announcement that they'd have at least $5 billion less revenue than they expected, making it the first time the company had to issue a warning like that in nearly two decades.
That was news the stock market didn't take so well, adding to some big losses in the company's value. Apple itself pointed to a number of factors that contributed. Now, market watchers are wondering if Apple can adapt as the device market changes.
Dan Gallagher is a technology columnist for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dan, what prompted this warning from Apple about its revenue numbers last week?
Well, you know, typically publicly traded companies have to keep investors informed of, you know, what's called the material events, material changes. So if a company gives a forecast that, you know, revenue is going to be this much in a period, and then something changes before the next report that means that number would be materially different, they need to tell investors. So in this case, Apple, which always gives a forecast when it reports results, it forecasts the next quarter. In just 2 months' time, things seemed to change enough for the company to have to change that forecast, essentially lower it. And this was interesting because it's not uncommon for companies to do this. However, Apple has not had to really do this since 2002.
Wasn't it not too long ago that Apple was the first American company to be valued at $1 trillion? What in the world has happened since?
Well, yeah, they hit that. I mean, part of that was just that stocks have been on a tear. You know, there's been what's called the bull market for, you know, the last 6-7 years. Stocks have continuously gone up, and that's been good for, you know, a lot of stocks across the board. And then Apple's just had, you know, Apple really, it's a highly profitable company. It's got products that it sells at fantastic profit margins relative to what its competitors can sell for. So it's always been a strong business. And then, you know, coming into the, I think there was a lot of excitement around the, you know, the iPhone cycle that the new iPhones that came out last fall, there was excitement around that was driving the stock up and other things. So, but between that, you had the stock running up to quite a degree to give it that kind of valuation.
Speaking of iPhones, certainly the sales of the iPhone has declined. What are some of the reasons for that?
A few things. I mean, one, these phones have gotten a lot more expensive. I mean, some of the newest phones are selling now start at prices that are like $1,000. And just to pay outright. And, you know, that's a big change from, you know, when they were around the $600 and $700 range, and then go back even further when carriers used to subsidize your price and you just paid $200 out of your pocket. So, you know, the prices consumers pay have gone up, and the devices have actually gotten better. They last longer. The batteries don't wear out as much. So essentially, people are holding on to their phones for longer periods rather than, you know, the kind of 1.5 to 2 years that you used to replace a phone by. And then when you add to that the fact that, you know, economies in places like China are slowing, and a few other factors like that, you just have kind of essentially, you know, you don't have as much reason for a lot of consumers to just buy the latest and greatest device because, you know, I'm using an iPhone 7 personally. It's a very strong phone. And I personally didn't look at the phones that have come out even 2 years newer and see something that was like, okay, I got to spend to have that. They weren't good enough, better.
Yeah, and that was the one thing I was going to ask you, because I have for instance, I have an iPhone 8 Plus, and there's really not a whole lot of difference between the iPhone 7 and, you know, the iPhone 8 Plus, or even the X, well, the 10, I always call it the X, but the 10. and there's some differences there, but there's not as much difference for people to run out and buy a new phone when they have one that works perfectly fine. Is that what you're seeing a lot of?
Yeah, especially since, you know, I mean, now the iPhone's a 10-year-old product line.
Right.
And I don't know how long you've been using it. My first iPhone was the 3G. It was the second phone they made.
I think I started at five.
Yeah. Well, 3G was a good phone for the time. I mean, it was ahead of what other companies were doing like that. But after 18 months, my 3G was really, really ready to die. And the difference between that and the 4 that came out just, you know, that was kind of the new phone at that time was amazingly big. Like you got a really big step up in performance and speed and everything else. And you just don't see that now year by year. If you have a phone that, if, like I said, I have the iPhone 7, that's a 2-year-old phone. And I've played with the new devices that friends and that use, and they're nice. They're not worse by any degree, but they're not so much better that I think, oh wow, this is really worth all the extra money and that I would have to spend on it.
Dan Gallagher is a technology columnist for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column, and we're talking about some of the problems and issues with Apple. What does it mean, Dan, when people say that the device market overall is maturing?
Well, for Apple especially, Apple doesn't really sell phones into what we call the low end of the market. I mean, and we don't see that so much, I think, here in the U.S., but there's markets all around the world, like in India, where, you know, phones are just a lot cheaper because they have to be. And those are markets Apple doesn't really play in because they've always been kind of a premium company. They want to keep their profits strong. So in the market that they play in with phones, the higher end of the smartphone market, there's just not really any growth there. I mean, it's pretty saturated. Most of the people who are going to have phones have them. So for Apple now, its iPhone business, which is 2/3 of its revenue, is really annual replacement business. You know, every year they put out new phones and their prospects depend on, okay, what percentage of their customer base is going to upgrade their phones. Because we're at the point now where we just don't have the share between Apple's iOS system and Android, which is, you know, the competing platform. Those haven't really changed in the last 2-3 years. So people who've chosen a platform are sticking with it for the most part, and there's not a lot of switching back and forth. So for Apple, that means you have to every year try to upsell some portion of your customer base to a new device.
Now, Apple has talked about, instead of continuing to go that route where you're trying to upsell, pivoting to focus on services. So what would that look like?
Well, they're doing that now. I mean, services is actually their second largest business segment if you look at their financials.
Okay.
And what that is, it's a hodgepodge of a lot of things. You know, it's the, you know, historically, like the music you bought to put on your iPod way back. That's, you know, that's now part of in services, and then movies, and then apps from the App Store, and then all things, kinds of things like the Apple Care warranty plan, and money they get from licensing, like Google pays them a certain amount of money every year to be the default search engine on the iPhone. So there's a lot of things in that bucket. And so combined, it's been growing much faster than the iPhone lately, and that's kind of their best, it's kind of their biggest bet on growing the company. The problem is that the iPhone business is so enormous. If you took it out totally from every other business, it would still rank, I think, among the maybe 15 or 20 largest companies in the world by Wow. revenue. It's 2/3 of their business, so you don't, mathematically, it's kind of hard to get to the point where services is kind of the main driver of the business. And then the problem is services are really tied to the company's hardware. You don't buy Apple Music if you don't have a device to play it on, for instance. Right. So you have a thing where, you know, for the business, yeah, it's a good different revenue stream for them, but it's still closely tied to the devices that they sell.
Now, I know Apple's having their issues, but wasn't some of this, though, inevitable in terms of their decline just by virtue of how profitable they are?
Well, profitable, yeah. They're a very large company. And like you said, you know, you get to a point where a company that's, you know, selling, that's doing more than $200 billion a year in revenue, you know, it's harder to grow that in a significant way. To grow that by 20-30% is very difficult, especially when you're in markets that are, you know, sort of mature like they're in. So yeah, in a way it was inevitable that their business would mature. And the challenging thing, if you go back years to where Apple was just selling computers and then they came up with this new product called the iPod, the iPod really put them into a new market that had a lot more interesting and bigger growth potential than just computers did. So that really helped kind of put the company on a new path. But now that they're the size that they're at, and because there's not a lot of markets really out there that are like the phone market, it's really hard to envision what new product the company could come out with that would really give it the kind of juice that the iPhone gave them years ago.
And finally, Dan, what kind of things, if it isn't a revolutionary product, and it seemed like Apple was coming out with something revolutionary, or they were taking something that had already existed and making it revolutionary, it seemed every single year, what kind of things are you watching for as Apple tries to change and adapt?
Well, I mean, they have to act like they're a big mature company, and so I think you have to keep expectations realistic that they can find ways to, you know, still grow the business, you know, because in business, if you're not growing, you're, you know, eventually declining. They have to find ways to grow the business and have realistic expectations about that. And I think sometimes they're not credited for, you know, when they come out, they have come out with some interesting new products over the last few years. The AirPods, the wireless earbuds are a really good product. Apple Watch has gotten a lot of traction. It's not that they haven't had success stories. Again, it goes back to the problem of comparisons. The iPhone is such an enormous business that it's really hard to come up with something new that's going to have the same level of impact. I think that's why people were excited on the possibility that they might make a car, because conceivably that would be something that could be huge again and change. But that's a very difficult, you know, business, very different from what they've done. Margins aren't the same, and we don't even get the sense that they're really building their own car anymore based on some reporting. I mean, you know, maybe in some years that might happen, but it's really, I mean, Apple's just a big, mature company, and I think people have to really get used to that idea.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
Dan Gallagher is a tech columnist for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column. He was with us to talk about what's behind a bad last few months for Apple and how the company's dealing with changes in the market for devices.